You know, the stars of heaven are truly beautiful things. And God must have known that we needed them, so he created the stars before he created mankind. The first commandment of God was that there be light, and there was light. And God hung the stars also. And I suppose probably the thing that really is so intriguing to man about the stars is the mystery of them. We continue to send spacecraft into outer space among the stars, searching for whatever, be it life on other planets, or perhaps maybe just to, maybe in our way, learn a little bit more about the mystery of the universe. Stars have often been used by God to convey great messages. One is found in the book of Matthew about the mystery of the universe. Stars have often been used by God to convey great messages. One is found in the book of Matthew, the second chapter. I hope you brought your Bible tonight, and I'm going to ask if you would be turning to that particular passage, Matthew chapter 2. Jesus had been born in Bethlehem, and after his birth, factually about 2 years after the birth of Jesus, the Bible says, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east unto Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jew? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written of the prophets, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule over my people Israel." Micah 5 and verse 2. "Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently about the time that the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." Now we know that Jesus was not a babe in Bethlehem at this time, and I think that probably is one of the biggest misnomers in the religious world. Now a lot of people believe that when the wise men got to where Jesus was, and many of the depictions will show maybe Jesus in a manger and the wise men coming to the manger scene, and that really isn't the case at all. For Jesus was really about 2 years old. For you remember, Herod had put out the decree that all children under two would be slain and would be put to death. Well, we know that Herod obviously wanted to get rid of this new king of the Jews. But God used the star to show the wise men where he was. As a child, I didn't know a whole lot about air conditioning. Anybody in here have air conditioning when you were a kid besides the younger generation? We grew up sometimes with water coolers and, you know, the ones I'm talking about, the water drip down those old fans, try to keep you cool. And because of that, it was often cooler to sleep outside. And so we slept outside a lot. My brother and I did on passage, but just something we wanted to do. We enjoyed doing that. And as I mentioned this morning, we looked up into the beautiful heavens of God and we could see the majesty of God. And I was often reminded of that passage of Scripture where David said that the heavens declare the glory of God and the earth showeth forth his handiwork. And so anyway, Johnny and I would often lay out on a pallet out in our pasture there on a little hillside, and we would look up into the heavens of God and we would talk about the majesty of God. I can only imagine what might have gone through the minds of the wise men when God allowed a star to appear before them and to lead them to the very presence of Jesus Christ. I mentioned to you this morning that the North Star, or what we often call the bright and morning star, is that first star that you see at night. And so if you walk out as it approaches dusk tonight, if the clouds are not there, obviously, and you gaze northward, you will see, first of all, one bright star, and that is called the North Star. And what will happen in the morning when the sun begins to rise and all of the other stars begin to fade on the horizon, you will still see that North Star. It is the first star, as I mentioned this morning, that you see at night. And it is the last star that you will see in the morning. In the book of Revelation 22 and verse 16, Jesus said, "I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star." Now what that North Star represents is the consistency, I think, of God. That star is always there. It's like one man said one time, you know, even when the clouds are there, above the clouds, the sky is still blue and the sun is still shining. Now, even tonight, when we go to bed and it becomes dark, the sun is still shining somewhere around this world. It is still shining. Now, Jesus is called the bright and the morning star. You know, he's called by a number of things in the Bible. In the book of John, the 14th chapter, he's called the way, the truth, and the life. He is called the bread of life. He is called the true vine. He is called the shepherd in John, the 15th chapter. But why the bright and the morning star? What would be the purpose of Jesus referring to himself? And by the way, he said that. He said, "I am the root and the offspring of David. I am the bright and the morning star." Well, let me share with you tonight three things that I really believe that Jesus is saying in this text. There are three blessings that come to you and come to me because he is the bright and the morning star. And the first is that of hope. Why, the bright and the morning star speaks of hope, does it not? For you see, it has been called the harbinger of dawn. That which had been clothed in darkness, think about it, now comes to light. You know, when Jesus began his ministry upon the face of the earth, after his birth in what we call the silent years, between the age of 12 up until the age of 30, we don't really have a whole lot of information about his life. We don't know what he experienced as a teenager. We don't know exactly what went on during that period of 12 years. And I suppose that if that information was really that important to us, God would have revealed it, but he didn't. And so we just let it lay right there. But the ministry of Christ picks up when he was about 30 years of age. And the world was engulfed in darkness. There were all kinds of problems that were going on in Jerusalem and in the province of Judea being under Roman rule. The Jews were being persecuted. They were being abused. Oftentimes they were. And the Romans would often lay heavy burdens upon the Jews. And so in the midst of all of the religious confusion, by the way, that was going on, God allows his son, Jesus, to come on the scene. And he comes on the scene as the bright and the morning star. When Jesus came as that star, the world was clothed in darkness. Can you imagine living in a world without hope? And that's really what Christ came to give, wasn't it? As the bright and the morning star, he came to give hope. You know, I can't imagine living in a world with no hope. Now, I know sometimes that people can obviously create a false hope for people, but I can't imagine living in a world without hope. Sometimes people do create false hope. You may have a very terminal illness and the doctor knows you're going to die, but he just doesn't want to tell you. And so he tries to create a scenario where you have some kind of hope about the future, even though he knows that you are going to die. He may be telling you all the time that things are going to get better when he knows that they are not going to be better at all. But when Christ came, he was the fulfillment of all the prophets that spoke of hope for Israel. For this Messiah was the one who was to bless the kings. He was to bless all of Israel. And Jesus really was that hope. In the book of Romans 15 and verse 4, the Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures may have hope." How tragic it would be to live in a world without hope. I just can't imagine that. You know, one of the saddest things to me in talking about living without hope and without receiving the blessing of God, I think about the ancient story of Esau and Jacob. Now, most of us, all that we remember about that is the fact that Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup or a mess of pottage, as we often say. But sometimes we don't remember the events that followed that. Do you know that it was 40 years after that event took place out in the wilderness with his brother Jacob that Esau stood before his father, and the Bible tells us that he lifted up his eyes to his father and he said, "Oh, Father, will you bless me?" And Isaac had already given the blessing to his son Jacob. And the Bible said that Esau wept. There was no hope, no blessing for Esau. It would be a tragic thing to live without hope. The Bible in the book of Colossians 1 and verse 27 says, "For even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages, from generations," he says, "but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory and his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Paul calls it the anchor of the soul in the book of Hebrews 6 and verse 19. And just as we gaze into the heavens and see that beautiful star, it actually tells us that God is there. It hasn't moved. The other night, Audrey and I went with the singles over to Fairfield to Sam's, and as we were coming back, we looked up in the heavens and we saw this bright star. But all of a sudden, that star began to move. And I thought, what is this? Now, we didn't think it was a UFO, but we finally came to the conclusion that it was a satellite. And it began to move and move and move, you know. But it first looked like a star. The star that we call the bright and the morning star never, ever moves. Because you and I have been begotten unto a lively hope, according to 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. And that's why the Bible says that that's the kind of hope that we ought to offer to the world. For in 1 Peter 3:15 he says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to give answer for the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear." But there's another thing about this bright morning star. Not only does it offer hope to us. And why would Jesus call himself the bright morning star? Because that bright and morning star offers guidance. Not only hope, but guidance. You see, just as the star would lead the wise men unto Jesus, Jesus says, "I am the bright and the morning star." He is the one who leads us unto God. For Jeremiah 10 and verse 23 says that it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. In Psalms 37 and verse 23, David said that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. In John 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, "Man shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." What is the guidance of God? You ever really thought about that? You ever thought about the leading of the Lord? If I were to ask you tonight, does God lead you? Does he guide you? We often pray that he'll do it. But have you ever felt the leading of God and the guiding of God? I think he does do that. He certainly does not lead us to walk after the flesh. For Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says that there is now no condemnation to them that walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. It is the worthy walk that we read about in Ephesians 4 and verse 1. It is the walk that is worthy of the Lord, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. It is the walk in the light, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. And Jesus in John the 11th chapter and verse 10 said, if a man walk in the light, he stumbleth not because he walks in the light. But if a man walks in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Psalms 23. This Jesus could provide direction for us. I think he still does. You know, every day when I get out of bed, in the quietness of my own life, I pray to God and ask him to guide me that day. Lead me to where I need to be. Help me to be at the right place at the right time to bless others. Father, help me not to selfishly pursue and chart my own course, but help me to be where you want me to be. And you know what? I think that's the prayer that God would want all of us to pray. That's why I do that every morning. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe God does guide us. There have been so many times that I have been at that right place at the right time to either reach a lost soul or perhaps to comfort someone who's lost a loved one in death, or perhaps to be with someone who's learned that they have a terminal illness, or maybe at the right time when someone was going through marriage difficulty and you just happen to be at the right place at the right time. And that doesn't happen by chance. If that were left up to chance, folks, I'm going to tell you something, we'd all be failures. But when you ask God to lead you and guide you, God will do it. He is the bright and the morning star. But then there's another thing. Last of all, that I think this bright and morning star represents, and that is the fact that the bright and the morning star speaks of joy. The poet said, a thing of beauty is joy forever. And just as the morning star is one of the most beautiful objects in the sky, and it really, really is if you gaze upon it, so is Jesus. For in Christ there is no stain, there is no sin, there is no sign or ounce of selfishness, no earthly defilement, but only joy. And that's why Jesus would say in John the 16th chapter to those who were undergoing great trial in their life, to the disciples and other, he would say that your sorrow shall be turned into rejoicing. Again, when we follow the leading of God, what you may be going through in your life right now, and it may be a crisis. You may be thinking, why is God leading me here? You know what? He may be leading you through that valley of the shadow to get you to a place of joy that sometimes we just do not grasp and understand in our lives, but he does it. And to reach the mountaintop, we have to walk through the valley. Sometimes that's hard for us to understand, but it's true. You ever thought about the day of Pentecost? Why was it that murderers and liars and those who were blasphemous couldn't suddenly make a dramatic change after the proclamation of the gospel? One sermon. You know why they could do that? Because they saw the bright and the morning star. They saw it. Sometimes people do not see it. Sometimes people have to be reminded that it's still there. I don't know about you. Sometimes I forget about the stars. I don't go out every night and look up at the moon and the stars. There are times when I do. But you know, sometimes people rarely ever think about the canopy of the universe. But it's beautiful to behold. Sometimes when I look up there, I just say, you know, and scientists and astronomers tell us even now that there are millions and millions and millions of stars. And we could never, ever probe the entirety of them. Would be impossible. But thank God for the greatest star, and that's Jesus. And I'm thankful that he reaches down to us on this lowly earth and touches us with his brightness. Sometimes we fail to remember that it is because he became lowly that he left the grandeur of heaven and came down to this world that you and I have the hope of living with him up there. You see, he came down that we might go up. And he rescued us when we were in sin. He became our harbinger of hope as well. A long time ago in England, there lived a preacher by the name of John Holden. One late afternoon in the village where he lived, everyone began to run to the seashore to man rowboats to go out to sea where a vessel had been capsized. Little boat after little boat would go out and bring to shore those who had been thrown into the icy waters. And when the last rowboat was coming in, John Holden, standing on the shore, called out to the rowboat, "Did you get the last one? Did you get the last one?" And came the reply from the little boat, "I think there's one more, but I can't find him." John Holden began immediately to prepare to go out in his own little boat. His mother grabbed him and said, "Oh, son, it's so dark and foggy. Don't go out there, for you may never come back." But John Holden said, "Mother, I love you, but I feel that God is leading me to do this. I must go out there." And after what seemed to be a long time, John Holden's little rowboat could be seen throughout the night and the fog. Someone on shore shouted out, "Did you get him? Was there one more out there? And did you get him?" And John said, "Yes, I got him. And tell my mother, it's my brother." You know, God reaches down to all of us, wherever we are. No one left behind. He is that harbinger of safety. He guides us. He leads us. He brings joy. And he gives light where there is darkness. I hope you'll always remember that. I hope you'll never, ever forget that even when the world is often engulfed in problem after problem, in chaos after chaos, that there is one who is resilient and one who's just as brilliantly shining tonight as he ever has, and that's Jesus. If you're not a Christian tonight, I can't imagine anyone not wanting to be drawn to that kind of light. And if you believe that he is Christ, it wouldn't do you any good, obviously, to come up here, as I mentioned this morning, to be baptized, unless you really believed it. For one being baptized into Christ is based upon his belief and a penitent attitude and a confession of faith. And if you're willing tonight to do that and step out on faith and obey the Lord by becoming his child, God is waiting to rescue you. He's reaching for you right now. He's in the lifeboat. He's searching for you. He is. And he's ready to throw out the lifeline to all who will come. And even those of us who have often gone astray and have capsized our little spiritual boat.